We're glad that you could join us this morning. Thank you for being a part of Serve Sunday. If you missed the welcome and you are visiting with us, you probably came on the craziest day you could have ever come. And you're going to think, man, these people are weird. And you're right. We are. Here's the deal. And I say this every Serve Sunday, and you're probably thinking, man, he says this every Serve Sunday. And you're right, I do. Because me being repetitive with this hopefully is going to remind us of why we do this to the point that I don't have to say it every Serve Sunday. But the reason that we do this is because, and First Sundays in general, was us trying to take on attacking what has happened in the church culture for us. I'm sure it's happened for other churches too, but what God has led us to do is to attack in our church culture what it looks like for us to be the church and not just go to church. The church is not a building. We know this. It's the body of believers. For us to live out who we're called to be as the church isn't us just showing up on Sunday mornings to a building. I don't care what the building looks like. Doesn't matter if it's a warehouse. Doesn't matter if it's white and got a steeple on it, out of a November Rain video. I just can't help but think that every time I say that. Whatever it is, for us to understand that, I think it's so huge. But for us to live that is even bigger, even larger. Because when we are the church, God uses us in incredible ways to show His glory in this world, to be light. Just in the last several weeks, we talked about what it looked like to be salt and light. And today we're going to go and we're going to be light. We know that part of being the church is for us to serve others just as Jesus came and served us. And so we've got that understanding, that basic concept down. I was reading this passage of Scripture this week, and it's been a while since I've read this passage of Scripture. And it's amazing how, like, in different times in your life when you read Scripture, God will use it to speak to you in different ways, just depending upon maybe your circumstances. And in reading this Scripture, this is one of those Scriptures that pastors usually read, and they're like, that's right, that's right. We so need help, you know, in doing all this kind of stuff. And you guys probably feel the same way sometimes. But in Matthew chapter 9, and I'm just going to read this real quick, and you've probably heard this before. It says this in verse 35. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. So we've got Jesus doing his thing, and he's prowling around and he's healing everybody. And it says in verse 36, when he saw the crowds, I want you to hear this. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. Because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to the disciples, and we've heard this, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. A couple things that really hit me in this passage, and I'll just be honest with you. I was reading the whole chapter. If you go to the beginning of the chapter, in chapter 9, you have the passage of Jesus healing the paralytic. And if you don't remember what that's about, it's the four guys that bring the guy to Jesus. And it says in that passage of Scripture, what really always stands out to me every time I read that passage, is that when Jesus saw, let me see if I can find it real quick. This is what happens when you don't have, like, notes every week and all that kind of stuff. Looking for it here. I know it's here. Verse 4. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, talking about all the people that were sitting around, why do you think evil in your hearts? For much easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise and walk, but that you know that that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. He then said to the paralytic, rise, pick up your bed and go home. And when he went home, the crowd saw it, and they were afraid. They glorified God and had given such authority to men. So this passage of Scripture, oh, here it is, verse 2. And behold, some people brought him to him, a paralytic, laying on a bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. So it's this double end of when I was studying this passage of Scripture this past week, me and one of the guys that I meet with on a weekly basis, we're walking through parts of the book of Matthew right now, and we'll kind of bounce around in Scripture sometimes. But we were reading verse 9 and 10, chapters 9 and 10 this past couple weeks, just kind of meditating on it and that kind of thing. And one of the things that I love about that passage is that when Jesus saw their faith. So here you've got four friends who bring their friend to Jesus, who is a paralytic, he can't walk, and they bring him, and we have this in other passages where we see even more of the story, but I think most importantly, one of the things that we see in this passage is that when they bring him to Jesus, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Your sins are forgiven." I think that we completely miss that sometimes. I think that we get so busy sometimes that we forget to have the compassion that we see Jesus later on in this passage of Scripture have for this crowd of people. What's it say again? It says, he had compassion for them. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. And I think sometimes we're so busy that we miss having compassion for people. Those four guys had compassion for their paralytic friend. Based upon their faith, according to Scripture, Jesus forgave this guy of his sins, healed the guy. He gets up and walks. And what does that mean completely? I think it means that Jesus just said, "I'm going to save this guy." You know, and God's got the power to do that. But when you look at this as a whole, and you study and you think about, you know, what it looks like for us to have compassion for people, that means us taking time out. And I think it's real easy for us to go, "Well, you know, I do serve Sunday, and so I'm taking time out," and that kind of thing. And I just remind us with this statement about Serve Sunday, that Serve Sunday is about us practicing what God has called us to do every day of our life. It's not just a Serve Sunday thing. This is us practicing together as the church, as the body of believers, what it looks like for us to serve others and love others and be Jesus to others every day of our life. But you know what that takes? It takes time. It takes thought. And it takes compassion. Jesus goes on in that passage. He ends it and he says, "Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." You ever get frustrated that you don't have enough help, maybe doing something that God's led you to do? How much time have you spent praying that God would work in the hearts of people? Let me ask you this question. What would it look like? I know that we as a church, we're always in need of people to help do this or that at times. I don't know if you realize that or not, but we have needs weekly where we kind of have holes of people that we wish that we had people to help do certain things or whatever. What would it look like for us as a church to pray together for God to send the people to fill those holes, to be those gaps? I think for us to recognize the need for us to have compassion for others is probably one of the most important things right now. When it comes to our faith and when it comes to us being the church that I think that most folks are probably missing. They don't mean to be missing it. And it's not that they don't care. And it's not that you don't care. It's not that I don't care. But the truth is that we get too busy to think about anybody else other than ourselves or our immediate family or whatever it is. But Jesus saw the crowds and he had compassion for them. And today, you're going to have an opportunity to have that same kind of compassion. And some of you are going to go today, like me, I'm going to a cemetery to help clean it up today. And you go, "Well, who are we ministering to there? They're dead, right?" I mean, you know, it is what it is, you know. But the truth is that I've already heard of an opportunity of a person that's going to be there from the community that we're serving, because that's part of this, is that we're trying to be light, trying to be salt into our community. There's going to be a representative from our community in that place with us, hanging out, and they're going to get a chance to see what it looks like for people just to love the Lord enough to just say, "Hey, you know what? We're going to be a part of that Jeremiah 29 thing where we are for the betterment of our city, that we're going to leave this place better because we existed and because Christ lives in us. And so, I want to encourage you today. Whatever you're getting to do today, just remember that. Remember that God's going to use it somehow, some way, shape, or form. I know that some of you will be doing stuff that you're like, well, nobody's going to even know. How's anybody even going to know I'm doing it? Don't worry about that, okay? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. If anything, instead of getting to that place in your heart, instead, while you're working today, while you're shoveling gravel or digging dirt or weed eating or chainsawing or loving on some people in a nursing home or whatever you may be doing today, whatever you're doing, instead of going there in your heart, instead, have compassion. Pray for those people. Why do you think Jesus would say, pray earnestly about these folks? Why would he say that? I mean, he's Jesus. He already knows, right? Doesn't God already know? God wants to see us grow in him where we love them and we have compassion for them like he does. Think about that. Today we've got an opportunity. If nothing else, if no one from our community is around you that you get to serve them today, if nothing else while you're working, pray for them. Pray for them and find in your heart compassion for others. And if you pray for others that they might become workers and laborers in the harvest with us, then do that too. I think it would be a great thing for us as a church to pray that others would come and serve him alongside with us. I'm going to ask our ushers to come. We're going to take up an offering. And I want to pray just for our hearts again, that they're in the right place today, that God would lead us today and that he would use us today. And when I get done praying, when we get done with the offering, we'll quickly be splitting up into teams and all that kind of stuff. So let me pray for us.